episode 8 of Nuggets for Vet Nurses, where we give you fetus-sized bits of practical knowledge for your everyday nursing life. I'm Marcus Taylor.
And I'm Esther Fan, both Kiwis, and now from both sides of the equator, we are your show hosts. Hey Marcus, you usually say bite-sized bits in the intro, or some variation of that, but fetus-sized bits? That's a bit left field.
No, it's not, because today we're going to be talking about pregnancy diagnosis. More specifically, pregnancy ultrasound versus pregnancy x-rays. We're going to be talking feti.
Feti being the plural of fetus. That's not anything to do with feet.
Or eyes. Good point.
Okay, so we can do pregnancy ultrasounds and pregnancy x-rays. Which do we use and when?
Yeah, it's really common for clients to ring up and ask to book in an ultrasound or an x-ray for their dog or cat that's probably pregnant. And it's here you need to stop and ask them why.
Free the barb, I'm sorry to interrupt, but why are you wanting to book Fluffy in?
If Breeder Barb wants to diagnose or confirm pregnancy, then an ultrasound is used from 30 days post-mating. Sometimes vets will scan them from 21 days post-mating, but small or single feti are easy to miss. So just check with your vet if they want to scan this early.
Great. And we can know if we're having twins or triplets or sex tuplets, right?
Sorry, no. Ultrasound cannot be used to determine the number of feti. But a rough estimate can be given, like more than one or at least three.
So what if Barb wants to know how many puppies or kittens there are?
Then we need to take x-rays 7 to 10 days prior to the due date.
Not any earlier. Barb says she wants to know now so that she can make a pre-whelping sale of Fluffy's progeny.
Well, tough pickies, she'll have to wait. If we take radiographs any earlier, the skeletons of the feti haven't mineralized enough to see each one clearly.
Ah, okay. So when we do them, we'll just take a lateral and a VD shot of the abdomen, right?
Wrong. For pregnancy rads, it's much better to take the right lateral and a left lateral of the abdomen to determine the number, count the skulls and or the spines of the feti. On a VD or a DV view, the babies are just not spread out enough and it's not easy to count them.
Okay, so we take two laterals. I also note that it's hard work for pregnant bitches and queens to lie on their backs with the pressure of the gravid uterus on their organs and diaphragm. So it's just as well we don't really need a VD view.
And just note, health or viability of the feti can't be determined on x-ray. For this, you need to go back to ultrasound. But unlike human pregnancies, it's not common for us to regularly scan pregnant queens and bitches to check everything is okay inside. Most of the time, the vet will only perform a late-turn scan to check fetal heart rates when the dam is in dystocia.
Remember, dys means difficult. Therefore, dystocia means trouble giving birth. Okay, so to recap. 1. Ultrasound 30 days post-mating is used to confirm pregnancy, but not the number of feti. Number 2, to determine the number of feti, x-rays 7 to 10 days prior to the due date is used. And number 3, when taking these x-rays, a left and a right lateral view of the abdomen is preferred over a lateral and a VD or DV.
And you need to know the gestation length of dogs and cats to know 7 to 10 days prior to the due date, right, Esther?
Exactly.
All right, so dogs, 63 days. I'll leave cats to you.
Well, it's kind of easy, about 63 days as well.
All right. So when booking these appointments, remember to ask what the client is after. Does she want to know if Fluffy's pregnant or does she want to know how many puppies she'll be having?
And don't forget to ask the mating date, even if it's just approximate. We have one more question. It's not really related to pregnancy diagnosis, but rather abortion. So first-time owner Fanny rings up in a panic because her 8-month-old entire female dog has knotted with its undesexed male littermate yesterday. She wants to know if there's a morning-after pill available for dogs. Is there?
Well, it's not a pill, but there's a morning-after injection, if you like. Actually, it's 2 injections given 24 hours apart and can be given up to 45 mornings after the mismating, also known as the misalliance or accident. This drug is called agalpristone, trade name Allison.
Sweet. So I'll book Fanny's possibly pregnant puppy in for Allison injections anytime in the next 45 days.
Hold your horses. It's not so simple. See, Allison is most effective, like above 99%, within 22 days of mating. But due to the side effects, it should really only be given when a pregnancy is confirmed.
And we can't really confirm pregnancy until we do an ultrasound at day 30, or perhaps day 21 if you're lucky, right?
Correct. And there's the cost. The two injections can set you back a couple of $100 or more, given that around 50% of the bitches won't actually fall pregnant after any given mating. We might be wasting our time and money and doing more harm to the dog than good.
Okay. So we wait till day 30 and do a scan before injecting.
Yes. But between day 30 and 45, the efficacy of Allison drops a bit, and the bitch is more likely to undergo contractions and expulsion of the puppies, which is not very nice.
I see. So we're in a bit of a catch-22 then.
We are. So first-time owner Fanny is best to come in for a vet consult to discuss all of the above and more before deciding what to do.
The other option, I guess, is to wait till the dam is off heat and then spay her if she doesn't want to breed again in the future. Again, best chat with the vet about the exact timing to book the desexing in. So what about cats? Can Allison be used with cats?
Unfortunately, there is no morning after pill or injection for mismating in queens. If the owners don't want any kittens, the best thing to do is to just spay her.
Understood. Well, unwanted litters are a bit of a downer to end on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your trip to Lapland, Marcus? You only briefly touched on it at the start of last episode, but we've seen some pretty cool videos and snaps of the snow and the huskies that you encountered there on Instagram.
Oh yeah, I could talk a lot about our time in Lapland. It was so special up there.
Can you tell us exactly where it is?
So Lapland runs across Finland, Norway and Sweden. So it's actually an area like in the Arctic Circle. And it's the area that's known for having the Sami people, who are the people native to that area. And they're known for like herding reindeer and traveling really like long distances with dog sleds and with reindeer sleds. It's a really special place. They have a lot of really great food, like lots of unique reindeer kind of dishes and berries and mashed potato and root vegetables. I highly recommend going to visit there if you were in that part of Europe at all. It was very special.
We're just passing by. We'll pop over.
If you just swing in by, Santa Claus lives there too, so there's that.
But true.
I think the highlight was going dog sledding with the huskies. It was so cool to see them in their natural environment in the snow. They were so happy, and they were a little bit different to like the huskies you would see in Australia or in New Zealand, because they seemed like they were a bit smaller and leaner. And I don't know if that's just because they work every day or if that's because probably a combination of things, but I think their line was a little bit different because they only breed the huskies within the farm. They had about 80 huskies on the farm.
Wow.
And it was so great. When as soon as he, like, in the radio, the guy said, like, okay, we're ready. All of the huskies went crazy because they could understand the radio, like, thing when it went out on the walkie-talkies to all of, like, the workers. They all just started jumping and, like, barking and howling. And it was negative 25, so it was a really cold, clear day that we went. So I was standing on the back of the sleigh, like driving the dog. So you have this like brake, this metal like spike that goes down into the snow if you want to slow down. And I couldn't really steer the dogs. They just sort of like followed the sled in front of them and the trail that had been like worn down into the powder. So I wasn't really steering them. I was just stopping them from like going too fast and hitting the sled in front of us. It's actually kind of a little bit of a funny story. My wife was sitting on the sleigh with like a blanket over her at the front, and we were going to swap halfway. And we started to get towards the halfway point. The guy stopped and all the dogs started like barking at the top of their lungs because they wanted to keep running. And he was like, okay, change, change. And I leaned over and said to my wife, like, do you want to change? And she was like all dizzy. And I was like, what? Are you okay? Like, and she was like, I don't feel so good.
Oh, no.
And I was like, can you stand up? Let's swap. You're like, maybe you'll feel better if you're standing. And then she was like, no, I can't really stand up. And then the guy came over and he was like, what's going on? I was like, my wife's not feeling too good. And then he was like, you can't stop here. Go, go, go. and just like started shouting to go, and then I let go of the brake, and the dogs were just like, boom, we just like zoomed up again. And my poor wife was sitting like with a frozen blanket over her, like a corpse, just like half fainted, just getting like driven around by these dogs. And I kept leaning over to make sure she hadn't fully passed out. But I think what happened is she, because there was so much like stimulus at the same time, like the freezing air, the dogs barking, she was getting a little bit like car sick, sitting in the sleigh as we were going around.
Because you couldn't control the sleigh.
I was driving the sleigh so badly. And poor thing just like was getting carted around like a corpse while I was like having all this fun on the back of the dog sled. But she did get a bit better after a little while after that, and started to take some photos, and ended up having a really great time. But it was just quite funny. The guy's like, you can't stop there. Go, go, go.
Why not? Why couldn't you stop there? Was it like an intersection with traffic lights? Like,
no, I think because the dog sled in front of us had already left, and then the sleds behind us were like wanting to go. And I don't know, I think the guy also said that it happens quite a lot where people get, like when it's that cold and there's that much going on, they get that little bit fainty or lightheaded. And I think he's probably decided the best solution is just to like tell them just to go, and then they rather than to like get them off the sled, and you know, so I don't know. Yeah. It kind of worked, I mean.
Okay, so that was definitely your highlight, but we might have to hear from your wife the next time to see what her highlight was.
Yeah, it might be something a bit different. Probably it was the cross-country skiing or something a bit more. Like, yeah, but she did love the Huskies too, especially at the end. We went and like cuddled them all and patted them, and they loved the pats. So. And we fried a sausage on the fire too, so that was great. Well, I did. My wife's a vegan. I had the sausage. And her sausage.
Okay. So that was not her highlight as well?
No, but we had Gluggy, which is like kind of like mulled wine, but it's not wine. It's like a warm berry drink. It was really good.
Wow, that sounds pretty incredible. Sounds like a world away from Melbourne.
Mm.
Yeah, guys, that's all we have for you this week. Don't forget to check out our Instagram. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review. And if you find this podcast series helpful, feel free to pass it on to your friends and colleagues and all your social media contacts.
And we'll catch you next time, where we dive into some gutter talk. See ya.
See ya.